We can find out how this life is really supposed to be. God, I pray for each of us that we'd really be willing to listen to You about how things are supposed to be in life in general and the church, because Your ways are really different than the world's. Your ways are often really different than the ways that we've been thinking and living. And so God, pray also that we may be willing to change. We would open our hearts to what You say is true. You would speak to us by Your word and by Your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, please open your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we're continuing to preach through 1 Corinthians. This whole chapter 12, is about spiritual gifts and how they are supposed to function in the church. In the intro to this whole section, we learned that things which are from the Holy Spirit have a certain character. So we need to learn how this Holy Spirit works in gifting and God's purposes for gifting Christians and make sure we're behaving in line with what is right. Then in the first kind of subject on gifting, it taught us that spiritual gifts are given to each and every Christian and should be used in serving for the common good of the church. Now, although even though every Christian should be serving for the common good of the church, not every member is always considered as important. And so that's what this next section is about. I played pickleball yesterday with three other guys. It's if you're not familiar with it, it's kind of a cross between like tennis and ping pong on a court. And one of the guys that we played with had never played before, so there were three of us that had played a decent amount, one guy that hadn't. And the three of us who played before, when we were hitting at each other, we'd hit it hard and with a lot of topspin, really, you know, playing our best. But when we would hit it to the new guy, we'd kind of pop it up, give him a chance to adjust and to be able to actually play with us instead of the ball just going by him all the time. We gave him instructions on so that he could get better. We encouraged him. We cheered him. And in the end, he thanked us for how we played and how we treated him. And I think that we were all glad to do it. This is something like how the church should be with regard to serving together. There are those who may not seem as gifted, who may not seem as important to the ministry, but we shouldn't play around them, in a sense. We shouldn't act like they are not necessary. Quite the opposite. We need to encourage them. We need to make them feel like they are an important part, because they are. Please look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14 while I read. For just as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we all were given one Spirit to drink. For the body is not one member, but rather many. This body here is viewed as a metaphor. A human body is a metaphor for the church. And each true Christian is a body part or member. This is used to explain how the church is supposed to function together. All the various parts, all the various members work together so that the body of Christ, the church, functions properly. That is one of the things this body metaphor is about. I think there may be more to this metaphor. I think it may be a double metaphor. Because now, Christ is not present himself in a physical body on the earth like he once was, right? He's gone to heaven. And so now, all the Christians being individually worked through by the Holy Spirit coming together to do the ministry of Christ, serve as Christ's replacement body on the earth. All the gifts that were present in the human being of Christ have been divided up amongst all the Christians so that, empowered by the Holy Spirit, just like Christ was when He was on earth, we do the ministry of Christ. But we need to all come together to do what He did in the one person, Jesus Christ. And when we do this, when we all come together and play our parts, we show Christ. So, this is important stuff to get right. If it's up to us to show Christ, this is important to get right. Verse 13 tells how we each got to be part of the body of Christ. It mentions baptism and drinking. For many Christians, in talking about the church, this would bring up thoughts of water baptism and drinking the communion juice. Those are two things that we might say make a person a part of the church. But this verse teaches there is a more fundamental way a person becomes part of the church. That is, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit and drink of the Holy Spirit. This happens on the inside of a person at the time that they come to faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 13 says, "We were all baptized into one body." "We all" refers to every Christian. And we are all baptized in or by the Holy Spirit. This is usually understood by most evangelicals to refer to the Holy Spirit coming into us and doing an initial cleansing work at the moment that we come to trust Christ. Like 1 Corinthians 6 describes, it describes the wretched sinners that we were. And then it says, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were made holy, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So you see there, the Spirit comes in when we trust Jesus Christ. It says you were washed, past, when you came to Christ. You were made holy, past, when you trusted Jesus Christ. By the Holy Spirit, you were made holy. However, even though the Holy Spirit does that work inside of every new Christian, this verse is not focused so much on what happened on the inside of us. This verse focuses on how the Holy Spirit made us each part of something bigger. He made us spiritually part of the one body of Christ. We are each united with all other Christians to make up the entity that represents Christ here on earth, the church. And every single believer in Jesus Christ is an equal part of that. Jews or Greeks, every nationality or race, slaves or free, every socioeconomic status or career type are equal when they come into Christ. We know in our culture, and pretty much every culture around the earth, our culture is in uproar about this kind of stuff right now, that we like to segregate ourselves out by pretty much anything that we can find. Skin color, income, education, likes, dislikes, whatever. But we are not supposed to be like that when we come into Christ. People who may be treated like less in the world because of things like skin color, or their job, or their lower income, or their seeming lack of talent, when they come into Christ, are equal members of the body of Christ and should be treated as equal. That seems to be the main point. But let me make a couple more comments based on verse 13. Some people say that baptism of the Holy Spirit is a second experience that can happen sometime after becoming a Christian, where you get this special gifting with this second experience. baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you have to seek this second experience. Every Christian has to seek it to get it. Well, verse 13 proves that is not true. Notice in verse 13 the past tense, were baptized. So every Christian this was written to, this baptism in the Spirit, had happened to them when? In the past. And this made each of them a member of the body of Christ at the time that this happened. When? In the past. Therefore, baptism of the Holy Spirit cannot be some second, later experience for Christians to seek. It is a past event for every true Christian. And the time that baptism of the Spirit happened was the moment that they became a member of the body of Christ. In other words, at the moment they came to faith in Christ. Thus, we, Christians, don't need to seek to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, you have already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come into you. He has made you a member of the body of Christ. He has done an initial washing, on cleansing on the inside of you, and He has gifted you to serve the church. And Paul is going to go on to teach that every one of us Christians is an important part of the body of Christ with gifting that is essential to the church. We learned last week that some of the Corinthian Christians were likely claiming themselves to be specially gifted and elevating themselves in importance above other Christians, maybe even all the rest of the Christians. But the body is not one member or even a few, but rather many. Every true Christian makes up the body of Christ, and it takes all of us putting our gifts of service in for Christ to be shown in His fullness. If each of us just have a part of the gifting that was in Christ and it's been spread out to all of us, then the only way for Christ to be seen in His fullness is for each person to put back in their part through serving. So Paul makes this extended analogy comparing the church of Christ to a physical human body where each Christian is like a body part that together make up a human body. And as a human body functions best when all the individual parts function in their capacity, the church works best this way also. Please look at verses 15 to 17 while I read. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason not a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason not a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? So whether those who think that they have great spiritual gifts are making other Christians feel this depressed way, or whether Christians just look at those who have greater gifts and cast themselves in this unimportant way, either way that it happens, there can be Christians who think that they are unimportant, an unimportant part of the body of Christ.
Oh, I can't do cool things that the hand does, so I am not part of the body. I am not important.
It is that silly for you to say you are unimportant in the body of Christ and serving in the church. Every Christian is important in the body of Christ and in serving the church. In the analogy to a human body, every body part, hand, foot, ears, nose, has an important function to serve for the good of the whole human body. And in the church, no part should consider themselves as unimportant, and no part should withdraw from their place to a place of not serving because they think their function is unimportant. The human body functions optimally when all the parts are doing their job. Friday night I was putting a camp chair away. We were at our kids' football games. I'm putting this camp chair away, and I kind of drop it into the bag, and it hits my toe, not even very hard, and it hurt like crazy. I don't know how, you know, if I just hit it in the perfect way, but it was bad. And even though it was just one little toe, and I got four other toes on that foot, and I got 2 feet and two legs, that one little hurting toe that didn't want pressure on it, and it made it kind of cease to function. And resulting from that made it difficult to walk. That little toe was crying, "I don't want to do my part." And that one little toe ceasing to function made it more difficult for the whole to do its function. Walk. The human body functions optimally when all the parts do their job. And the body of Christ functions optimally when all the parts do their job. So, every single Christian who doesn't do their part in serving makes the body of Christ not function optimally. So if you think you don't have much or anything to contribute to serving the church, you are wrong. Even if you're a little toe of sorts, you are important. Because if the other body parts try to make up for you being missing or shut down, and they still somehow get the job done, the body still didn't function optimally. The church functions optimally when every single part does its part, serving. So if you're not serving, jump in. The church needs your function. And this is aside from today's passage, but we kind of talked about this last week just to remind us and tie it in, is like it usually doesn't work where you discover your spirit gifting and then get into serving in a capacity where the spirit works. The way that it usually works is you give yourself, offer yourself, "Hey, I'm willing to do this," and the Holy Spirit says, "Okay, now I'm going to show you what I'll do through you." So just jump in there and you'll see how He uses you. The next verse supports this point that every single part needs to do its part in serving. Please look at verses 18 through 20 while I read. "But as it is, God placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. If all had been one member, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many members, but one body." It is God's design to put each Christian in a place in the body where they are and to give them each their function in the body. So to say that you are not an important part of it or to not serve your function is ignoring what God wants to do with you. Asking you to serve in the church is not me or someone else who asks you being self-serving or being pushy. It is us trying to help you enter into something that God wants for you. That's part of His design for you. One single member, like a pastor, cannot do everything that the church needs. Even several very gifted individuals cannot do everything the church needs. Now, theoretically, could they? Like, could God do it that way if He wanted to? Yes, God can do anything He wants to. But this says that's not the way He's designed it. So presumably, if everybody doesn't put in their part, God's just not going to do everything that He would have done. Because God has not set it up that way for it to just be a few. He set it up for it to be the many, each contributing their part. God has set it up so that the body is made of many members of which each has a function. And for the body to be where it is supposed to be, each member needs to serve his or her function. Listen, I think this is a really important point. We are in a chapter that is about spiritual gifts. And so I'm incorporating spiritual gifts into what we're talking about today. But it doesn't say spiritual gifts in any of the verses that we're talking about today. At this point, that's because at this point in the chapter, it is not focusing on the gifts themselves. It is focused on the people, the Christians, each and every one. God wants each person, each Christian, involved in serving in the church because each person is a part of the body of Christ. That is how God has desired it. It is not about how spectacular each person's gifting is. It's about how each part serves its part. The unity, the oneness, the completeness of the body of Christ only gets shown when each part serves its part. It's one of the miraculous things about the church is that people from all walks of life and all colors and all cultures and all socioeconomic statuses and all ways of thinking, so variously different, if we can manage to come together and act as one, the world is going to go, wow, how do you do that? We don't do that. It needs to come through in everything, including gifting. Now the passage takes a turn. It goes from addressing those who may think they are unimportant to addressing those who think they are too important. Please look at verses 21 through 26 while I read. Then the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body, seeming to be weaker, are necessary. And the members of the body which we suppose to be lacking in honor, to these we bestow more honor, and our unpresentable members are in a more presentable position. But our presentable members are not in a position of needing it. Yet God composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the members which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but rather the members may have the same serious concern for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice. If some that seem very gifted say, or even imply to other Christians, that the other Christians aren't needed to serve in the church, they're wrong. Some might tend to look at like a music worship leader or a pastor who's preaching or the Bible study leader who's up front or any other kind of upfront person as the person who does significant ministry. But those people, even the people who are up front, the people that everybody sees, can't do what they do optimally without everybody doing their part. Like more than 90% of the people in the church that serve are doing something that's like behind the scenes. If there aren't song lyrics up on the overhead, it makes it very difficult for people to follow along with the worship leader. Now, there's a few aspects to that, like just putting the slides together. The worship leader could do that in advance, but if he doesn't have to do that, if somebody else does that, then he can focus on his other preparations to be leading us in musical worship. And it would be very difficult for the worship leader to sing and play their instrument and change the slides at the same time. If there weren't chairs set up in here, I imagine there'd be a lot less people willing to sit through the sermon, especially my sermons. if you had to stand the whole time. Now, I could set them up, but when I don't have to, it frees me to focus on preparing to preach and counseling and the other things that I feel gifted to do. In a Bible study group, the facilitator of the study plays an important role, but the person who sets up the room for the group, or the person who hosts the home group, or the person who prepares food for the guests, all contribute something important to the fellowship. So no member should think that they don't need any of the others. That is why verse 22 starts with what in Greek is very strong language. On the contrary, the members of the body seeming to be weaker are necessary. Weaker means to have limitations. But notice that they just seem to be weaker. What I think this is people judging each other based on their human characteristics. Things like education or natural talent or whatever that happens to be. But don't forget what happens when you become a part of the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes into you, and we learned last week that the Holy Spirit manifests Himself to do magnificent things through people. So it doesn't matter what your natural tendencies are. If you could be weak in the world. You could have a terrible job in the world. You could have a terrible education in the world. You could be a moron in the world. And the Holy Spirit comes through you and does magnificent things. Do you remember what people said about the apostles? Who are these guys? They're speaking so intelligently. Aren't they all fishermen? These were not educated men. These were not men that had spectacular jobs. And yet people recognized them as being amazing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was working through them. And so I think what was going on here is that people in the body were picking out natural characteristics in people and going, they're not that great. And Paul says they seem to be weaker to you. Again, this is probably targeted at those who think of themselves as having better or more gifting or maybe even just natural talent. And so to them, others seem less gifted and therefore less important in the church. Paul corrects that, saying, the ones that seem weaker are necessary. And he states how the church behaves toward those who seem to be lacking when we are behaving rightly. Not only may they seem to be lacking gifting, but the arrogant may suppose they lack honor, which is value. Instead of thinking that way, we should bestow on them more honor. We should recognize them more. The people who are up front serving in the church, people in the church already give them a lot of honor, already give them a lot of recognition. People already come up and say good job and tell the preacher and the music leader and the Bible study leader how they're having an impact in people's lives. We need to do that more for people who are behind the scenes, who don't naturally get the honor, who don't naturally get the recognition. Spectacularly gifted people may think that behind the scenes people should stay that way, behind the scenes, hidden and unrecognized because they're not as spectacular. But it is the opposite. Because they are hidden in their service, but they are important. Because they are hidden behind the scenes, but are necessary, we need to make sure they get recognition, that they get honor. Do you do that? To people who serve behind the scenes, do you make a point of it to go to them and say, good job, or I appreciate your service? If you do, keep doing that. And if you don't, would you make a point to do that periodically and purposefully? People who set up stuff, people who do landscaping at the church, ushers, people who do handiwork on the church facility, tech people, food pantry people, people who pray for the church diligently, people that serve food, kids zone people, women and men's ministry event helpers, people who give support generously and nobody knows it, that they're even making up for others who don't give the way that they should, people who host life together groups, and people who don't even have a formal ministry that's at the church building, but the Holy Spirit uses you in individuals' lives to do things like discipleship and counseling and giving mercy and cheering others up. Good job, all of you. I appreciate you. Keep it up. God has taken various kinds of people from all kinds of walks of life and backgrounds and appearances, and He's given them all various kinds of gifts. And so there's all this crazy variety, and He has mixed them together in the church. We are a wild recipe, but that's supposed to come together to taste awesome, in a sense. I had this time when I was a kid where I was hanging out with some other kids. We were at a kid's house. There were no adults home, and everybody was hungry and started looking through the cabinets and pulling stuff out. And there's like just random stuff, tortillas and mayonnaise and tuna and Lowry's seasoning and just all these things. And everybody's going, there's nothing to eat. And I go, I'm going to make us all something to eat, and all you're going to all like it. And they're like, come on, look at this crazy stuff here. And I said, I'll bet you all $5 each that I can make something that you're going to enjoy. You got to be honest with me, though, after I make it. Everybody took the bet. And so I literally took tuna and ramen and fried it in a pan with the Lowry seasoning and put it into the tortilla and put mayonnaise on it. And my memory from the past is terrible, but this one I remember vividly. And I served it to everybody, and while they're watching me make it, they're going, oh, gross! And every single person, when they took their first bite, went, oh, that's good! I'm like, $5, everybody. This is the church. We're all these crazy ingredients. So how can we put them all together and have it be good? Because God. Because the Holy Spirit's the cook. Even though in the world some of those people might not seem very spectacular, it might not seem very necessary, it might not get much recognition, God has gifted each Christian with something to contribute to the church. And thus He has made them an important part of the church, part of His mix that's supposed to show His glory. And so God has given them an honorable place in the church because they get to be part of showing God's glory, part of showing the goodness of Christ, leaving a good taste in people's mouths about Christ. We need to come in line with God in seeing the church this way, and seeing ourselves this way, and seeing serving this way, so that there may be no divisions in the church based on spiritual gift types or ministries, or who is up front or behind the scenes. We can't divide ourselves up those ways. We just need to see ourselves and others as each being an important part of the whole. It says we need to have serious concern for one another, for each person in the body of Christ. Your translation probably doesn't communicate it this way. It probably says something like, we need to have care for one another. That's true, but this word that's translated, often translated as care, is the word that's often translated as anxiety. What that word communicates is, normally it's saying it's a bad thing. We're not supposed to care about things at such a level, normally, that it makes us anxious. But in this case, God says, you're supposed to care about one another so much that if one person is depressed, if one person's having a hard time, if one person is left out, we're supposed to care so much about that that it's like we get anxious. So if somebody's being made to feel left out, if somebody is feeling unimportant, if somebody is being dishonored, if somebody is feeling discouraged about ministry, we need to seriously care about that. In fact, if somebody is experiencing something like that, it says we need to sympathize with them. Try to understand what they're experiencing and feeling. And then we need to try to make it right. Include them. Find a place for them to serve. Encourage them. Remind them they're an important part of the body. Appreciate their serving. It might be a behind-the-scenes person who needs this, but it might also be an upfront person. Before I said, you know, the upfront people often don't need the praise, the recognition, hey, good job, because they get a lot of that already. It's the behind-the-scenes people that need it. But that doesn't change the fact that upfront people can be hurting. Upfront people can take a lot of criticism as well as praise. And so they may need encouraging too. And when they do, we need to notice that. We need to care. And if someone is getting recognized, don't be jealous. Rather, rejoice with them. These kinds of ways of treating one another unite us, which is right for the one body of Christ. We're supposed to be doing things that unite us. These kinds of ways of treating one another bring honor to Christ. They make Christ look good, which is exactly the purpose of the body of Christ, the church. And each one of us who's truly a part of it, who's truly a Christian, who's been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, should care to bring Him honor and glory. And this is the one of the ways that we do it. What questions do you have about this topic or about subjects that it brought up for you that I may try to answer for you? So do I wait to serve until I sense a calling, or do I just get in there and do it? I think it can be both. So I think based on a passage like this, the first and most important answer is to say, you already have a calling, which is wrapped up in being in Christ. Like the whole book of Ephesians, for example, talks about who we are in Christ and then says, because of who you are in Christ, walk, live in ways that are consistent with who you are in Christ. And so a passage like this that says you've been put into Christ's body and the Holy Spirit is going to manifest Himself to you so that you can serve and make the body whole. Because of truth like that, I would say we just need to get in there and do it. But there does seem to be also it's not contradictory to that part, it's like supplemental. It's kind of a different thing where you do see in the Scriptures people sensing a special calling, people like hearing from God and saying, do this. And so that's not contradictory. It's an added thing on top of. Like all of us are supposed to serve, and we may not hear a voice saying, do it this way, but we're supposed to do it. Some of us may like hear it in a special way, do this. And it can be for a bunch of different reasons. It can be because we're hesitant, and so God gives us that extra grace to say, yeah, that's what I want you doing. It could be because we're getting discouraged in what we thought we were supposed to do, and it's just getting hard, and we're like, maybe I'm supposed to quit. Maybe this isn't where I'm supposed to be, and God manifests Himself specially and says, no, keep going. This is what I have you to do. I know it's hard. Keep doing it even if you suffer. And I might add to that, I will add to that because this is an important part of it. Hearing God's calling is not just from hearing God's voice. We've talked about this much in recent weeks that He speaks through His church. And so individuals in the church saying, hey, I think you're gifted for this, could be part of God's calling. Somebody saying, I think you should serve in this ministry, or inviting you to do a certain ministry, might be part of the way that God is speaking to you and saying, do this. Let me just pick one category and use it as an illustration. Elders. Normally people don't step up and come forward and say, "Hey, I need to be an elder." The way it happens usually, and I think this is biblical, is that the Holy Spirit is appointing elders. Like, He has elders that He wants. And we as elders, the way that we handle that is we're always praying and thinking, trying to listen to the Holy Spirit. Who is He appointing? So we're not just doing some process every year, you know, that we have to go through to bring on elders. We're trying to always constantly be listening to the Holy Spirit. And when He says, "Bring that guy on, he's one of my elders," that we would say yes. And so when we go to that guy and say, "Hey, we think you're supposed to be an elder," what's happening? God is calling them through us. Hopefully that's what's happening. You know, we've recognized the Spirit saying, "That guy." And so God is speaking through us as one of the ways of calling them. Let's pray together to apply what we learned today. Would you just sit for another few moments and allow the Holy Spirit to use God's Word to speak to you? First of all, is there anything that you've learned in God's Word today that should change the way that you think? Listen to God about that. And if God is challenging you to change some way you think, and it's how you've been thinking is a deeply ingrained way, maybe you've held on to it for a long time, would you ask Him to help you to really change that thinking, to come in line with His truth? And would you listen to Him if there's something that He wants you to do, like maybe jump into serving in His church, or maybe some way to new way to value other people who serve in the church? Lord Jesus, I pray that each of us, out of gratitude for what You've done for us, out of honor that You're our Lord, would want to bring You glory. And so God, in this specific way of serving in the church and allowing You to do Your work through each one of us to benefit Your church, pray that each of us would give ourselves to that, would play our part so that we can see Your glory in its fullness, so that people can get a better taste of the goodness of You and what You can do, specifically bringing all kinds of different people and different ways of thinking, diversity together, and making us one. That's something this world really needs to see. And it's something we, even in Christ, in Your church, need to be reminded of. So help us to achieve that here in our representation, in our local representation of Your body of Christ. It's in Jesus' name I pray, and all those who agreed said, Amen.